baby.
Last time with Auntie Pua.
You have my rent money.
Your rent is here.
I give you too many chances already. You have one more month. You no more money. You out.
You better find a way to get our rent back. You are so immature and irresponsible.
Ma, look. I'm gonna win us that rent money back.
Where's my pocket? Oh, here you go.
Okay. Ooh, stay hot today. Ooh, plenty of rake. Oh, I gotta rake the leaves today. Anyway. Hey, aloha gang. Shaka, how you guys doing? Long time no see. Anyway, I just got off the phone with Pua. That one here, I tell you. She can get herself in trouble. Her mouth. Bang, 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 bang. Go for down, go for broke. She get her own mind how she gonna do stuff. But I try to tell her, better watch your mouth, Wahine. Gonna get you in trouble every time. Anyway, I try to pass on some wisdoms to her. Because you know me, I'm all about making sure that the wisdoms always go across. You know, I tell her, well, let me give you some advice. If everything come in your way, you in the wrong lane. That's what I say. But anyway, I don't know what more I can say about that, but that's all I'm going to say about that one. You guys take care. God bless you all. Aloha. Good to see you again. You come visit me anytime because I'm always open 24 hours a day. Just like the 7-Eleven. All in a row. Okay, gang, you take care. Aloha, no. Shaka. Konhele on now. Aloha.
Look, Ati, we're just trying to help you win.
Well, I don't need a professional stylist. I get my own style.
No. Trust me. Look, I called in a favor to my big bro in my fraternity, and he's actually a top professional designer. Look, I know he can help.
What could he possibly have to show moi?
A lot.
Ah! Oh, free Godiva chocolate.
Hey! Ooh,
I ate a pie.
Oh, I ate a pie too. Oh, custard if you have. But you know, in the Philippines, we call that leche plan.
Hati Pua, I want you to meet my big bro, Milky.
I am Milky, and welcome to my way, the Milky Way.
Yeah. Well, I like Snickers more better.
You follow me.
So, the pageant is in 2 weeks. You think you could help us out?
Milky can do anything, but so much to do, so little time. You, up there. Turn around. Cookie. This is my wife, Cookie.
Oh, I get it, Milky and Cookie. Together you're too sweet.
You know, you I like. And you. Cookie. この希望がないおばさんがコンテストに出場したいって言ってるんだけど、ちょっとガーゼラに似てんじゃない？OK, now go! And what in Armani is this outfit?
This is from Forever 21.
Well, you're clearly not 21. And only diamonds are forever. And what are these?
These are my pretty Princess Pua platforms.
Yes, from Pangasinan, Philippines.
Hello, goodbye. These shoes are international.
Oh, really?
Yes.
No! And who did your face?
This is MAC makeup!
More like Ronald McDonald.
Kiko will make a good funny. And what is this monstrosity?
Don't you dare! Don't you touch my beautiful foliage!
Bear, you want Milky to help you? Well, you do what I say.
I don't have to listen to you, because I'm a free bird! A free bird! A free bird!
Etty, wait up. Where are you going? Come on. Just give Milky a shot.
Why should I? He's just a sassy, bossy, figgy blonde tantaran.
Etty, come on. Look, you really need to win this pageant prize money. I mean, think about it. If you don't, that's you, Uncle Frank, and especially Tutu. You guys are going to be homeless. And then what you going to do? Milky's our only way.
You're right, Kikua. I'll suffer for the sake of the Ohana. Oh, catch me, Kikua. Oh.
That's weird. I normally bench 230.
So I see you decided you want to win the pageant. Well, follow me. Milky will turn you into a swan. Not a fat goose!
Cookie Core, I never met anybody so drama in my whole life.
We have.
There are no mistakes, just chances we've taken. Lay down your regrets, 'cause all we have is now. Wake up in the morning and get out of bed. Start making amends or listen my head. Of all of the things that I am grateful for, open up my eyes and I open up my mind and I wonder how life will surprise me today. Early in the morning, it's the dawn of a new day. New hopes, new dreams, new ways. I open up my heart and I'm gonna do my part and make this a positively beautiful day. Can still smell the roses and be on a mission. Just take a moment to get in touch with your heart. Sometimes you feel like you've got something to prove. Remind yourself that there's only one you. Just take a moment to give thanks of who. Pardon, make this a positively beautiful day. just chances we've taken. Lay down your regrets, 'cause all we have is now.
Would you say thank you to the singers, Meliana? Wonderful. Well, would you take out your notes with me? And we have something that we're going to be passing out right now. Ushers, would you do that? Would you pass out what we have for you? It's actually a rubber band. So as it comes on, we're just going to keep talking. As it comes around, put it on your wrist because we're going to talk about it in a little bit, all right? So ushers, would you please do that? Ushers, would you help? Pass them out. Yeah, everybody there. Help, everybody help. Give them each one and just pass it right down, okay? Get as many ushers as we can out here. Yeah, Lisa, good. Thank you. All right, let's take out our notes as we talk about continuing in our series called Me and My Big Mouth. Now, how many of you grumble, let's say, a lot of the time, hardly at all, none at all? How many of you say a lot of the time? Raise your hand, okay? Some of the time, raise your hand. None of the time, are you lying? Okay. We all have some modicum of grumbling in us where we grumble, we complain, and we argue. I want to know, what would make us stop grumbling? Would it be that if you had more money, if you were happier, if we had more, if the U.S. were in a better state in our economy? Well, according to the Business Week magazine, we all should be extremely happy. You know why? Listen to this. We are entertained out of our minds. We have great pets, and we have good eats. You say, what? Yeah, listen to this. Last year, we spent $11 billion on movies alone. $11.2 billion on recorded music, like into our iPods, etc. $12 billion on video games. And listen to this. Last year, we spent $52 billion on our pets. And just so that we have something to eat during our movies, on junk food, we spent, and fast foods, last year, $152 billion. So just that alone, Americans have spent over $200 billion in money just to keep ourselves entertained with our pets and eating junk food. We should be really happy. Why should we grumble or complain? We, as Americans, have 4.6% of the world's population, and yet we consume over 40% of the world's resources. Right here in good old USA. Did you know that in America, we have twice as many malls as we have schools? And even yet, with all of that wonderfulness, in a poll that was given recently, now remember, per capita, Americans are the richest people in the world. Yet in this recent poll, they found that 81% of us want more than what we already currently earn. And yet 94% of Americans polled think that Americans are too materialistic. But 89% still think we should have the right to have whatever we desire. So with all of that, what's the result? With all of this wealth, with all of this happiness, since 1950, our technology has increased at a faster rate than any other nation in the world, with movies, lights, televisions, video games. Yet, since 1950, we are 10% more depressed than we were in the 50s, and we are 40% more violent as a nation. The results? There are 90 other nations in the world that spend less on themselves than we spend on our pets. 90 nations. We spend more on jewelry, shoes, makeup, and watches than we do on the average on our children's education. Yet we are the most bored, one of the highest suicide rates in the world, and the murder rates, and we have the most people of any nation committed to asylums and prisons in America. And we have so much, yet, guess what else? We grumble more than any other nation in the world. But maybe it's because we have too much, I don't know. Or maybe that grumbling and bad decisions go hand in hand. That's right. So we want to talk about the danger of grumbling when God has given so much to us. Grumbling, how can we reduce that, as we find in the book of James? Because when you grumble, you make some bad decisions. As was the story is told, there's these two Portuguese workers. They were digging a ditch by the side of the road, grumbling, because their supervisor was up alongside the road, just leaning up against a telephone pole. When one guy said to Mano, you go up there and you ask that supervisor, how come he's not working and yet he's making twice as much as we are? This is unfair. And they're grumbling and arguing. So Mano said, screw down the shovel. That's it. I'm going to ask him. So he walked up there and said, excuse me. He said, how come we do all the work and you're getting twice as much as we are? Supervisor said, well, first of all, I don't grumble and I don't complain and I don't argue. Because if you grumble and you complain and you argue, you make dumb decisions. Like what? Said Mano. He leaned up on the telephone pole and he said, hit my hand. Mano thought, this is it. You bet I'll go and hit it as hard as he can. As soon as he swung, the guy moved his hand and bang, he hit the telephone pole. Oh, said, you see, you make dumb decisions when you guys grumble down there. So he went back down. He was digging, and his friend said, Mano, what did he say? He said, we grumble and argue, and we make all kinds of complaining. That's why we make bad decisions. His friend said, like what? Mano said, try this. Hit my hand. Some of you don't understand. Ask your neighbor. Grumbling and arguing, complaining, really are tied into making some pretty bad decisions. And James actually says that. Let's read what it says in James 5, verses 9 and 10 out loud. Go. Don't grumble about each other's, my brothers and sisters, or God will judge you. For look, the great judge is standing at the door. For examples, look at the prophets spoke in the name of the Lord. In other words, the Bible is saying, look at the history. Look at the history of Israel, and you will see that grumbling and complaining caused them to make some terrible decisions. In fact, you take a look at the Israelites. Complaining and arguing and grumbling, they had that down to a science. As soon as they left Israel, they began grumbling and complaining, and under the leadership of Moses, it was their grumbling and complaining and arguing that ultimately would keep them out of the full promises of God. They never made it to the promised land. They journeyed towards the promised land. They advanced towards the promised land. They were hanging around others that were going towards the promised land, but they never entered the fullness of God's promises. What restricted them? What disqualified them? God's promise? No. It was their response to the situations and circumstances around them with grumbling and arguing and complaining. Until God finally said, this whole generation will die in the wilderness because of their complaining. Now, I'm not saying, here's a disclaimer, that when there's problems, we should just stick our heads in the sand. No. You can respond to problems in two ways. One, you can grumble and complain and argue about them, which will lead to bad decisions. Or you can use patience and wisdom with understanding, resolve them and rectify them biblically. You can choose. You can grumble and complain and argue, which will lead to some bad decisions, and you'll never get God's full promises. Or you can deal with them with patience and wisdom and understanding. You see, it's not the problems, it's how we resolve them. You either resolve them biblically or you procrastinate and you let it fester because you don't want to deal with it at all. You've got to be able to know how to deal with things. If you don't, will be like the story of this man in the hospital. He was on his dying bed and called for the priest to give him his last rites. And the priest came next to the bed and was talking with him. And pretty soon this man is just flailing in the bed. Now he's just ready to die almost. He can't even talk. And he's in intensive care, but he just starts flailing around as if he wanted to say something. And the priest knew that he couldn't talk, so he handed him. He said, "You want to say something? Can you write it down?" And so gave him a tablet and a pen. And the guy wrote something on a tablet with his pen, and then, boom, he died. So his whole family gathered around, and the priest picked up the piece of paper, and he said, "I think these are his last words. Let's read what he has to say." And he read it, and it said, "Will you please move? You're standing on my oxygen tube." You need to deal with problems, but how you deal with them will be very important. So, how then do we reduce our complaining and our arguing that the Bible says will lead to terrible decisions? Here's some of the things. Let's write them down. Would you write them down with me? Number one, here it is. Number one, be convinced of its destructive power. No, not just know about it or understand it. Be what? Convinced of its destructive power. Let's read what it says in 1 Corinthians 10, 10 and 11. Go. Don't grumble as some did. Here it is. And were destroyed by the destroyer. These things happened to them as an example, and they were written for our instruction. Would you underline destroyed by the destroyer? Who's the destroyer? John 10, 10 says, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to what? Did you know that the way we open the door to the enemy, the Bible says, is don't complain as some did and were destroyed by the destroyer. We need to be convinced of the destructive power of us not wanting to resolve something, but instead complain and argue and gripe. Now, God is not saying don't resolve it. It's how we resolve it. God's not saying don't resolve it. God is saying how we resolve it is absolutely crucial to our futures. We need to be problem solvers. The question is, how are you going to do it? With anger? With arguing? With complaining? By grumbling? Or to say, Lord, would you give me wisdom and comprehension and insight and understanding so that I can biblically rectify and resolve this? And then all of heaven's store is just floods through you with wisdom and insight to be able to undo, to rectify this. But if we resolve it poorly through grumbling, it shuts the door to God and opens it up to the destroyer. It was China. They built this 4,000-mile-long wall, now called the Great Wall of China, to keep the Mongols out on the north and protect the people on the southern side in China. And as you know, Elwin is tall. He's probably from the Mongolian tribe. So it was to keep him out. And that's why he migrated to Hawaii. And so they built this huge wall, some like 20 meters high, which is about 60 feet. And it was impregnable, impenetrable. No one could get through that. And the Mongols tried and tried and couldn't. But one day, boom, they came through. How? Did they breach the walls? No. Did they catapult over? No. At one of the gates, they bribed a gatekeeper. And they opened the gates to them. And I thought, then the enemy came in. You know what opens the gates to the enemy, to our homes, our families, our marriages? The Bible says it's complaining. We start to grumble and complain. There starts a spirit that's toxic and cancerous. Some time ago, I went to a dermatologist, and because I'm out in the sun a lot, I get some of these sunspots, and I have him check it every year. And so he looked at one, and he said, oh, here's one. I've got to burn this one off. How many of you had spots burned off of you? Raise your hand. Yeah, that's the old people. And so... I'm included. And so I went in, and he just got his little burn torch, like an acetylene torch or something, and burned this thing off. And I said, why did you burn it off? He said, because that burn spot or that spot, that sunspot, is precancerous. And if you're not careful, those things could turn into melanoma, one of the fastest growing cancers that mankind can be infected with. And I didn't know that. And I thought, you know, I bet complaining is like that. We think it's benign. We think it's like no big deal. But complaining is a pre-cancer. And if you leave it alone and you make it normal, then it begins to become cancerous, like melanoma, with devastating results, and it escalates. Start small, but it escalates. Let's read what it says in Galatians 5. Go. Instead of showing love among yourselves, you are always biting and devouring one another. Watch out. Beware of destroying one another. Because see, at first, it's not that big of a deal, but it's precancerous. And if we don't intentionally burn that out, it can be like melanoma in relationships. And it becomes, has a life of its own, and it escalates. So how do we reduce complaining and grumbling? Because the Bible says it's like opening the door to the enemy. How do we reduce that in our lives? Well, the first is we must be convinced of its destructive power. And spiritually and scripturally, it's like cancer. Cancer. Second thing is this. And if we're going to reduce it, just like going in to check those spots so you could burn off the precancerous ones, the second is this. Would you write down, and it has to be done through us being willing to, here it is, live intentionally. Intentionally. A great life never happens automatically. Great marriages, great men of faith, great women of faith, they are only built intentionally, on purpose. That's why the scripture gives us so many instructions that are like commands. Don't do this and don't do that, because regardless of how I feel, regardless of what others have done, there's a command that says, don't do it. Yeah, but, doesn't matter. Don't do this. It's a command. It's not a suggestion. It's a command. And let's read one of those in Ephesians 4:29. Go. Do not use harmful words, but only helpful words, the kind that build up and provide what is needed, so what you say will do good to those who hear you. Yeah. Proverbs 18 says, life and death are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. And that's why God, knowing how important this is, continues and says in Philippians 2:14, let's read this next one. Go. In everything you do, here it is, stay away from complaining and, would you circle, stay away. Stay away. Stay away, stay away, stay away. Stay away, stay away, stay away. Stay away from it. Why? Because we're convinced of its destructive power. It's like melanoma. Melanoma. But you got to do that intentionally, folks. I didn't bring my life planner, but if I did, I would show you starting in February and March and April, God had been dealing with me about the words that I spoke. And in the middle, there's a little fold in the life planner, and it said monthly objectives. And if you see me doing devotions or anywhere with my life planner, you can ask me, and I'll show you that I had been writing on there for the last 3 months. Here it is, monthly objective, no hurtful words, edify only. And I turned it the next month, same thing, and this month too. Because one of the things that I am beginning to understand is I complain too much. Even a little is precancerous. So I've got to reduce that. Because if you are complaining, even under your breath, you discourage and depress yourself. And one of the things I have to be very careful of is discouraging myself and moving into depression. So I just am real careful. And we all need that. And so I would suggest that if you have got that life planner, right in that center section, no hurtful words. Just never is heard a discouraging word. We all need to write that in there, whether you can sing or not. Never is to be heard a discouraging word. Oh, well, what about the problems? We're gonna resolve them biblically, but we're not gonna default to the old way that we used to, because the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Do you remember last week? Quick, slow, slow. But let each one be quick to, slow to, and slow to, because the anger of man, even in a million years, will never be used by God to accomplish his purposes. When I'm arguing or complaining, even if people do it because he's complaining about it, the end result will be poor. Because it doesn't matter what I get done through anger or grumbling and arguing, the end result will be poor. It will never in a million years accomplish the purposes of God. He said, but Wayne, wait a minute now, wait a minute. What if somebody else starts the argument and they just rile me up? Doesn't matter. You see, we can always acquit ourselves if we compare ourselves with others, because you're always going to be better than the other person, because that's the way we see things. But the Bible tells us if we're going to live great lives, it has to be lived intentionally. So here is the third thing. In order to reduce grumbling and complaining, would you write down number three? Keep yourself accountable. Now, don't wait for others to hold you accountable. Keep what?
Yourself.
Accountable. Keep yourself. It's one of the secrets of a great life are men and women who have developed a self-governing system on the inside. Something that when they're starting to cross the line, that like those rumble strips on the freeways in the mainland, when you're starting to fall asleep and you're drifting, all of a sudden you hit this rumble strip, and you veer back on, whoa, what is it? It's a wake-up call is what it is. Because a lot of people doze off, truckers doze off, and there are rumble strips on both sides. And it wakes you up because it just rattles your fillings right out of your teeth. But it wakes you up and it gets you back on the straight and narrow. On the inside of us, there needs to be a warning system that when we're grumbling or arguing or complaining, there needs to be just something that says, whoa, stop. Whoa, 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 whoa. You can rectify it. You can resolve it. You can fix the problem, but do it biblically. Otherwise, God's not going to touch this with a 10-foot pole, because the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Never in a million years. Never in a million years. So we must hold who accountable? Yeah, otherwise we'll compare ourselves with others and we'll always come out smelling like a rose. Let's read what it says here in Galatians 6. Go. Be sure to do what you should, and you won't need to compare yourself to anyone else, for we are each responsible for our own conduct. Would you circle the word, be sure to do what? Here it is. You should. And you won't need to compare yourself with anyone else. And then would you underline the last sentence, for we are each responsible for our own conduct. Yeah, but what about that other? We are each responsible for ourselves. Let's read in 2 Corinthians. Go. Examine yourselves to see if your faith is really genuine. Test. Yeah, take a look at how many times that second person is listed. Listen, examine yourselves to see if your faith is really genuine. Test yourselves. You see, what God is saying is if we're going to reduce complaining and arguing, which opens the door to the enemy and to its destructive power, we must hold ourselves accountable. Nobody else. Yeah, but they, doesn't matter. But they're terrible. But they're, I was going to say a bad word. They're a butthead, you know. They're no good. They're an idiot. Doesn't matter. How are you doing in your own right? And you say, but Wayne, what if you mess up? What if you say things you shouldn't? Would you write down in the bullet then? Here it is. Correct things quickly. Correct them quickly. If you let it fester, it gets worse and worse and worse. The sooner the better. Let's read what Proverbs 17 says. Go. The beginning of strife is like letting out water. So abandon the quarrel before it. Yeah, abandon the quarrel before it breaks out. When you just start to see it going south, say, oops, time to abandon this ship. Abandon the quarrel. Don't let it continue. The worst thing is to let melanoma go once you know it's melanoma. It'll take your life that fast. It's in the book of Proverbs, and I'm going to bring it up on the screen in just a second, but let me read to you what Proverbs says. It says, when this happens, don't even go to sleep until you take care of it, because if not, it will toxify your life and you'll start making bad decisions hand over fist. Here it is. Listen to this. And then we'll put some up on the screen and you can read the last portion. But let me read the first portion to you. Proverbs 6, 2 through 5 says this. My son or my daughter, if you have been snared by the words of your mouth, if you have been caught with the words of your tongue, do this then, my son, and deliver yourself. Now here's the rest of it, and let's read it together. Go. Go humble yourself. Give no sleep to your eyes, nor slumber to your eyelids. Deliver yourself like a gazelle from the hunter's hand, and like a bird from the hand of the fowler. In other words, this is what he's saying. He's saying, when you mess up with your words, humble yourself. I mean, when? Now. The sooner the better. Listen very carefully. I don't know if this is a scripture, but maybe it should be. Humble pie is always best when eaten warm. Humble pie is always best when eaten warm, while it's still warm. Got to do it before. In fact, this is what the Bible says, before you go to sleep. Don't even let sleep get to your eyelids or slumber. Until you correct it. You've got to correct it because it's like melanoma and it's going to go as fast as it can to destroy you. You will be destroyed by the destroyer. You've let him in and he's starting his advance. And the sooner you correct it and apologize and repent, the sooner you correct it, the sooner you stop his advance. If you don't, he takes foundations out from under your family, your marriage, your future. Will never be back right again. You can repent later on after you're pushed up against the corner and painted there, and then you finally repent because there's nothing left. Now you receive forgiveness, but your future is gone. What could have been, the promises of God are gone. You're forgiven, you're loved, but everything that could have been is no longer. That's why the Bible says, man, don't even go to sleep tonight. Till you get it taken care of. In fact, let's read what it says in Ephesians 4. Go. Be angry and yet do not sin. Stop there. You're going to get angry, but the way you deal with it will make it sin or not sin. We all get angry. Every single one of us. We all get angry. Now, how are you going to deal with that problem? I can grumble. I can argue. I can complain. Or I can ask God for patience, give me wisdom and comprehension. Be angry, but do not sin. What if I do, though, Lord? What if I do? Let's start it again. Go. Be angry and yet do not sin. Here it is. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Here it is. And do not give the devil... He even mentions the entry of the devil taking opportunity. Why? Because we open the door through complaints and arguing and grumbling. It opens the door. Melanoma begins. And God says, don't even go to sleep till you take care of it. Because it'll keep right on advancing. You will have given the devil an opportunity. Don't you dare do it. Don't give him any more opportunity than he already has. So what do we do? Here it is, James 5:16. Let's read the last one. Go. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. Underline that, so you may be healed. Why do you need to get it right? Why do you need to get it right? Because either the person was right or wrong, doesn't matter. You need to get it right so you can start to be what?
Healed.
Start the healing process. Start the healing process. I've told you the story before. Let me share it again. In Bible college, I had a friend named Mike Nichols. And Mike Nichols was very strange. I think he needed medication. He, of course, needed some serious therapy. But he was real different. He would play jokes on you. He was studying for the ministry, but he was really different. When you get excited, he'd come up and not only hug you, he'd bite your head. And he'd just bite you because he's so happy to see you. You know, it's like, you're a really strange guy. And, well, he would do certain things that would escalate. For example, I was coming home one day and he was up on the stairs above me. And as I was walking up the stairs, he poured some water on me in this big tumbler. And so I said, "What are you doing?" And he ran off down the hallway. So I grabbed, he just dropped the tumbler. I grabbed it, put some water in it, and got him as well. And so I thought, oh, man. And then I went out to my car, and all of a sudden this deluge of water hits me. He was from the bathroom pouring a bucket on me as I'm getting into my car. I was so mad. I went up there and chased him, got another bucket of water, crashed him, But he had run in his room, so you know, I knocked on the door, and he wouldn't come out, so I waited and waited. He finally came out, and I doused him. And then I ran into my room and locked the door. And so finally I thought, now get rid of this parasite, this guy. He's crazy. He's just crazy. And so I remember studying that night, and I was writing a paper, a term paper, and I hear this giggling outside. I thought, oh, no, it's nothing. And he's giggling again. I hear it. It's Mike's giggle. I thought, he's up to something. But I'll just let him stay out in the hallway because I have this lock, double lock. And so I just keep writing. And all of a sudden, my feet feel funny. Something's funny. And I look down, and my whole room is being flooded with water. I thought, what? And he had a hose outside under my door. And he was flooding me out with a hose from the bathroom. And he thought it was really funny. I had this much water in my room. And I opened the door. I said, "You idiot." And I kicked him. We got into a scuffle. I said, "This is so dumb." And pretty soon, you know how when it starts by playfulness, it turns into like WWF World Wrestling Federation. So we just started wrestling. I started punching him. He started punching me. And then he said a word that called me this curse word. And I said, "Yeah, same to you." And so he went into his room, slammed the door, and I had to take all of the carpet out and vacuum the water out. And I was so mad. I thought, oh, God, so mad. I said, "Lord, tonight just take him home. Take him home." So I remember I was in my bed, and it was about 1 o'clock in the morning. Finally, I'm just ready to go to sleep, and I hear this knock on the door. Wayne, hello, are you awake? And it was Mike. Yes, what I usually do at 1 o'clock, Mike, I'm awake. Yep, I'm just praying here, waiting for you to come. He said, "Wayne." I said, "Mike, go away. Go to sleep." "Wayne." I said, "I'm going to just inject you with something. Just go to sleep." "Wayne." So I finally opened the door. I said, "What do you want?" And he looked at me and he said, "You know, I can't go to sleep." I said, "Good for you." He said, "No, I just can't go to sleep." I said, "Why?" "The Lord won't let me." I said, "That's because the Lord is wise." He said, "I can't go to sleep." I said, "Why?" "Because the Lord said that I couldn't go to sleep until I made it right and asked for your forgiveness." I said, "Oh, get out of here. You're forgiven. Get out of here." Close the door. And I remember getting into my bed, pulling my sheet over my shoulder like this, and I rolled over and I said to God, I said, "God, why doesn't that guy just roll over and go to sleep and leave me alone?" And I've never forgotten what the Lord spoke to my heart just then. He said, "Wayne, that's what you do, don't you, when I talk to you. You just roll over and say, 'Leave me alone.' At least Mike gets up when I talk to him." And then he said something that I've had the hardest time to receive. I've never forgotten it till this day. The Lord said, you should be more like Mike. Those are the harshest words God has ever spoken to my life. But I understood what he was saying. And that's why the Bible says, be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Do not give the devil an opportunity. You see, sometimes we make mistakes with our words, but then we have to understand God is saying, then correct it quickly. Don't let the sun go down in your anger, because that's when the devil takes an opportunity, and that's when the melanoma begins. We are convinced of its destructive power. We understand that. And we also understand that a great life is only lived intentionally. Intentionally. And that we must be a people who will hold ourselves accountable. And when we do that, then we'll be able to reduce our complaining and our grumbling. And so, you know how the week before Easter, in a lot of denominations, they have something called Lent, where they give up something. They get, you know, fast sugar or desserts just to prepare their hearts for Easter. Well, we're going to fast something this week. Are you ready? It's we're going to put a moratorium on complaining and grumbling and arguing. No complaining. So here's what we've done. Each of you take a look at this rubber band, all right? Okay. All right. This is on your right hand, your right arm. And I've had this for a couple of days. And now here it is. It is to remind you that you do not grumble and you don't complain and you don't get into an argument. Therefore, abandon the quarrel before it breaks out. So, every time you say anything that is of grumbling or arguing or complaining nature, I want you, no, not snap yourself. This isn't a masochistic kind of thing. No. I want you to take it and I want you to put it on your left arm, like this. And when it's on your left arm, you cannot go to sleep until this is back on your right arm. Now, some of you will be awake for the next week, 48 hours or so. You'll be coming to Easter hallucinating and all. No, I want you not to let the sun go down on your anger. And so you then get it right. I don't care if we need to write emails or we need whatever. Let me tell you a story. It was only about 3 months ago. I had done some complaining about something and grumbling. And God dealt with me so much. I had even done this. I got on an airplane. I'd flown to Canada by this time. And I was in a hotel. It was 11 o'clock at night. And God was dealing with me that I had just been diarrhea mouthed about a certain thing. And God said, you cannot go to sleep. I actually typed out 6 letters of apology asking for forgiveness. And when I had sent and pressed send on the last one, it was like 100 pounds lifted off of me. And I knew that as far as it depended on me, I had to be at peace with all men. And I couldn't let the sun go down in my anger. And it was then that I could just go to sleep, and I slept like a log. The night before, when I'd been grumbling for a couple of days, I couldn't sleep. I tossed and turned and tossed and turned. And the second night, God says, don't do it. Don't go to sleep until you deal with it. Typed out 6 letters and sent them out to the different people that I had mouthed off to a little bit and asked them for their forgiveness. And didn't even matter what their response was, because I had gotten it taken care of. Confess your sins, therefore, to one another so that you may be healed. And as soon as I pressed send on the last one, it's like 100 pounds lifted off of me. That's why the Bible says, if you've been snared by the words of your mouth, if you've been caught by your tongue, then do this, my son. Do not let sleep come to your eyes, slumber to your eyelids, but deliver yourself like a gazelle from the hunter's fowl, a bird from its cage, its trap. And I thought, that's why he says, be angry, but don't sin. Don't let the sun go down your anger. Don't let it. Don't let it. It was the best thing I could have done. Now, glad to report to you, over the next 4 days, all six of them had written back and said, thank you so much. We were involved in that too, and we apologize to you. Forgive us for that. And it was just wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. But I tell you, when you mess up, take that rubber band, put it on your left. And then when you take care of that, then put it on your right. And do not go to sleep until it's on your right hand. We'll do that till Easter, because we're going to apply what God has been speaking to us, and we are going to do a moratorium on grumbling, arguing, and complaining. I can't think of a better way to get our hearts right for Easter. Now, some of you might be here and you'd say, you know, Wayne, if we were honest, I would need like 7 or 18 rubber bands on my left hand right now. Okay, well, start with it on your right. And if you need to take it off right now and put it on your left, then that's fine. Then deal with those things. You may need to make a phone call, write a note, write an email. Doesn't matter what their response is. Get it taken care of. Because otherwise, melanoma begins. Get it on your right hand. You'll sleep like a baby. Let's do this till Easter. What do you think? Can we do it together as a church? Let's do it. Let's stand together. Make sure you get one of these now. Now, for some of you Samoans, we have some really big ones. I mean, this will go around my head. It's so big. But we really do have a few of those if you need them. But for most of us, this one may work. And if it's cutting off your circulation, is going black and blue, then get another one. But let's try it. Let's try it. And you know what? I've been wearing this for a couple of days now. And it really helps me, because even when I'm about to complain or grumble or talk about somebody, I just look at my wrist and I abandon that before it breaks out. It really helps. So we just need to change our perspective and be a people that are applying the Word of God. That's why James says it this way: "Beprove yourselves doers of the Word and not merely hearers who delude themselves." Because if we as a church people are merely hearers of the Word and not doers, we're like a person that looks at himself in a mirror. And once he is gone, he's completely forgotten the kind of person that he was. God's Word often is like a mirror. And we're sitting here in church and we say, oops, that's us. Then the Lord says, those are the ones. Let's be doers of the Word and not merely hearers. And this will help us to be doers of the Word. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, as we go into Easter this week. We ask, Lord, that you will help us to be a people who put a moratorium on grumbling, talking about others, complaining and arguing. A simple, simple object lesson, but powerful, so that we will begin to be doers of the Word and not just merely hearers who delude themselves. Because we can become prone to delusion or deception, where we think we're right and we're completely wrong. That kind of delusion comes when we are hearers of the Word and not doers. So Lord, little by little, teach us to be doers of the Word, as James says, so that we can be a people of your Word. Now we ask your blessings over this next week. We ask that you would lead us to 2 or 3 people to invite, that we will bring some friends or people that might not know you, invite them to the Blaisdell. Help us to be evangelists this week. And we ask that this next week, many, many, many will come to know you as Lord and Savior. Use us in that way. And now we give you praise and glory and honor as we welcome you into our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Would you seal that with a clap offering?